Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only Kimberly Reed, the filmmaker behind the new documentary Dark Money, which is now playing here in town at the AFI Docs Film Fest. Kimberly, thanks so much for taking the time today to join us.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Now, tell our listeners, it's a very important topic that I think a lot of people don't, you know, we all go vote in these elections, but not a lot of people thinking are, who exactly are funding all these, you know, hit ads and everything. Explain to them what these dark money organizations are and how it's a way that these corporations can influence elections without really having their name on those ads, you know?
Yeah, up until 2010, we had a lot better idea about who was paying for our elections and who was pumping all sorts of money into them. That all changed with the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Citizens United. That's the one that's kind of famous for saying that corporations are people and money is speech. So therefore, corporations should be able to give unlimited speech, unlimited money into political campaigns. And that, you know, was really problematic. But what it really did is it kind of enabled groups that have been kind of lying around but never really used for political purposes, these 501c4 groups, enabled them to be exploited as a vehicle to basically pump unlimited anonymous money into our elections. And that's what we've seen happening every election cycle. You see more and more of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to get into the film itself more in a second. But in terms of just broader, bigger picture stuff, I mean, is it going to ever be possible that we could have the Supreme Court overturn or rule the opposite of what they rule in Citizens United? I mean, how far out is that even possible?
It's possible. I think it's unlikely. And I think that, you know, we kind of just have to assume for now that Citizens United is the law of the land. But what a lot of people don't realize is that within Citizens United, there's an 8-1 sub decision that said, look, the only reason we can say all this stuff about corporations are speech, money is, you know, corporations are people and money is speech, only reason we can say that is because we're assuming that all of this money is going to get disclosed,
right?
That we're going to know who is paying for this stuff. Now, that is not happening. So what we can do, the way things are right now, whether or not we're even talking about overturning Citizens United or having a different Supreme Court, what you can do is just demand that the disclosure requirements that are already on the books, that those get enforced.
Absolutely. That's actually the smart way around it. All right. In terms of the film itself, how did you set out and choose why the state of Montana as sort of your, you know, your case study here?
You know, the challenge when talking about money and politics is that it's pretty abstract. And as a filmmaker, I knew that I wanted to tell a story that was based on people, not on like pie charts. Montana was where all of the battles were happening. It's the same group of lawyers behind Citizens United. They were opening offices in Montana, but at the same time, you had a very strong voter awareness and a lot of pushback against that. So it just looked like it was going to be a flashpoint, and it would be a really good case study to follow. The reason I came upon all this is because I'm a Montana native.
Uh-huh.
And so I was kind of watching the story, watching it develop. I also knew that I would have the access, you know, as somebody who came from there and knew some key players, that I would be able to actually get in and talk to the people I needed to talk to. So that's where it came from.
Awesome. And remind our listeners about the Anaconda Copper Mining Company and how that was a good way to kind of lay the groundwork for the rest of the film.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that you find in Montana is Butte, Montana, which was at one time in the early 1900s, late 1800s, it was known as the richest hill on earth because they pulled tons of copper out of that mountain. I'm sitting in a hotel room in Washington, D.C. right now, and the copper wiring in this building probably came from Butte, Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that also led to was a big rush of corporations in to control those natural resources. It led to those same corporations really trying to control politics in the state. when you have a lot of natural resources and not a lot of people living there, surprise, surprise, corporations and people with money at the time, the richest people in the world, were living in these cities right around Butte and Helena. And, you know, they started to buy up politics and politicians and actually led to some of the first anti-corruption measures that we have. Actually, the 17th Amendment that we have in the U.S. Constitution was a direct reaction to the corruption that was going on with these copper kings who were fighting over the natural resources in Butte, Montana.
Definitely. You mentioned earlier that you didn't want to just be about your pie charts. It's you know, documentaries are often about people and interesting, you know, characters to follow through the movie. Explain how you went about finding and choosing John Adams of the Montana Free Press, and how he, you know, his work as an investigative journalist allowed you to kind of have a fun character to study throughout this.
Yeah, I was following this story on the ground in Montana for a couple of years, and inevitably I was going to run into the other main newspaper reporter who was covering this and doing it very well. I was using his research and his reporting. His name is John S. Adams. He was working at a Gannett paper that was based there. And somebody put us in touch, and I finally convinced him to let me follow him around a little bit, thinking that it would be a really good idea to follow what he's going through, as he's, you know, the phrase follow the money. That's what he was doing. He was trying to figure out who's behind all this stuff. So he kind of becomes a main character in our film. And small spoiler alert here, but a really, really important issue in the film is that, you know, he ends up losing his job. And that was emblematic of what the newspaper industry around the rest of the country was going through, this vast consolidation and restructuring that was going on in the newspaper industry. And that's a really important issue when it comes to following money in politics, because if you don't have a watchdog press that's reporting on this stuff, that's writing these daily stories about the corruption that we're seeing with our elected officials, you know, it's really hard to keep track of these issues. And all of a sudden voters forget about it. So yeah, John and I were pretty much on the same trail, and we just kind of joined forces, and he became the main character in the film. To kind of, I kept telling him he was my Virgil, guiding us through this dark underworld of money and politics.
You're Virgil. I love it. Different Virgil than Virgil Tibbs as well, that you're referring to. Awesome. Tell me more about you. So you said you grew up in Montana. How do you get into filmmaking out in Montana? I'm so fascinated.
Well, it's so beautiful. You got to pull out a camera.
Exactly. So many great movies have featured it as a backdrop, you know?
Yeah. And I think our film shows that as well. And I think it's also something that, you know, kind of makes Montana's a little bit sensitive to when the environment is not really taken care of. I mean, there's a lot of people that are very much pro-development, but also pro, you know, conservation of the environment, so that you don't rip it apart and leave it in a worse state than you find it in. And that's something that definitely happens in our film, is kind of tracking the long-term impacts of, you know, environmental development when it's not done the right way.
Awesome. Well, I mean, it must be so rewarding watching your movie kind of rise the ranks and get exposed to audiences. I know it was part of that Good Pitch competition thing there, and then it debuted in Sundance, which must have been unbelievable. Hit some other festival circuits, and now you're at AFI Docs. How awesome is it to be at? I mean, this is like the premier documentary festival in the country.
Yeah, it's really great to be part of all of this, and it's really nice to see that. You know, Montana is just a case study in this. It enables us to tell this really focused story that we can show how this money and politics shell game is working. So it's fun to take it around to different parts of the country, because everybody has stories like this. So they can kind of look at our little case study and apply it to what's going on with the politics on the ground. And what is really inspiring is to see that people walk out of the film with a sense of hope that, you know, there's something that can be done about money and politics. I think a lot of times people just throw up their hands and say, you know, they're all a bunch of crooks and the whole system is screwed up and there's nothing we can do about it. It's always going to be that way. But I think that what we show happened in Montana in our case study is an inspiring story that other states can follow.
Yeah, we can't get apathetic and throw up our hands. It's got to be a daily fight, you know. So, I all our listeners should totally go out and see it at AFI Docs. But if for some reason, let's say they have a scheduling conflict, they can also, it's also on PBS, right? And for part of the POV series.
Yep, it is. And you know what? In about a month, we're going to be back in D.C., opening in theaters, back at the same theater, actually, East Street Cinema, on July 20th.
Awesome.
And that's a theatrical release through... And it's through PBS as well. PBS has a theatrical distribution arm called PBS Distribution, and they're going to bring it back here and do a nationwide release of that. And then in the fall, you will see us on PBS broadcast.
Awesome. And so you said that's July 20th?
July 20th.
Awesome. All right. Well, everyone come get a sneak peek this weekend, because there's nothing like, you know, seeing it at AFI Docs. But it's good to know that we can also, you know, maybe wider audiences will see it when it actually hits regular theaters and then on TV as well. So congrats on all the success on it. And thanks for, you know, shining a spotlight on the dark money.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Kimberly. Good luck with the movie.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.